are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Come on, give somebody a high five. Say you're looking better than last time I saw you. God is Yah, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. I shall not want. Can you say amen this morning? In Jesus' name. Well, welcome all you beautiful people here in Bloemfontein, the many thousands gathered here, those in the northern facility in Bloemfontein, Pretoria. We welcome you, the many thousands, Bloemfontein. We welcome you, Johannesburg. We welcome you, East Rand. We welcome you, welcome to Bonchu, Rustenburg. We welcome you, Kroonstad, Achenes. We welcome you. And then across our country, all those in correctional facilities, we welcome you today. In Uppington, both men and women, Kroonstad, Gosimampuru, Grootvlei, Polsmoor, Kimberley, Bethlehem, George, Mossel Bay, Westville, radio stations with us, live stream viewers with us, of course, our television audience. It's a great honor to bring the Word of God to you right here from where this revival began, in the heart of South Africa, Bloemfontein. And then we have many, many very special guests with us today from the Defense Force, and I want them to stand this morning. We're hosting them in Pretoria. The Chief of Staff of the SANDF, Lieutenant General Masondo. What a great honor, sir, to have you with us. Come on, a big hand clap there in Pretoria. Our Chaplain General Jamankile, Chief of Staff of the Chaplains Division, and Colonel Masuku. We welcome you today, and of course, many other senior officers and officials from the South African National Defense Force, Colonel Kotze, keep on clapping, Colonel Bosiki, Colonel Stanton, Chaplain Francis, Chaplain Pillay, Colonel Gladla, Colonel Masimola, all of them. Come on, give them a big cheer. We thank God for our military services. We thank God for those in uniform. Amen. The Bible is very clear that we are to pray for those in authority, and we are to be a... We have to obey the laws of the land, amen. And more than ever, we have to pray for South Africa and be optimistic. And can I say to all the girls, please, not all men are trash. Can I have an amen? Because you still want to get married and you're going on Facebook and you're saying men are trash. Don't do that. Okay, and then I want to say to the men, I spoke to Pastor Ray McCauley this week, spoke to one of the political leaders, and said we are starting a campaign which we will be engaging in to make South Africa safe, especially, listen now, for women and children. This disease in our country must stop. Somebody say amen in the name of Jesus. It's not right that women in this country are not safe. It's not right that our grandmothers, that our mothers, no matter what the color, that our children, our sisters, our aunts, our nieces are not safe in South Africa. This must stop. And it's an indictment against the men of South Africa that a young child cannot walk alone for fear of being raped and molested. A woman cannot walk alone, no matter who she is, for fear of being raped and molested. It is a disease that has to be rooted out of our society like a cancer. And as a church, we are going to engage not only in prayer but wherever we come, and we are going to engage in certain debates. Amen. I want to talk to you today about how to be an up person in a down world. Everything around us are wanting to go down, but the church. How to be an up person in a down world. Junk status, you can be an up person. Crime and violence, you can be an up person. I'm sure you'd agree there's something very magnetic and powerful about positive, upbeat people. People just like you, CRC. People who believe something good is going to happen. People who believe the best years of my life are ahead of me. People who believe South Africa is the most beautiful and most blessed country in this world. We just have to make it that way. Come on, you can shout this morning. There is something attractive and appealing about the life of a victorious Christian. Brian Tracy said, winners make a habit of manufacturing their own positive expectations in the advance of the event. I mean, no matter what we face, and believe me, we will face many battles, trials, tribulations, because God said so. We have to make up our minds to be upbeat people. To be up when everything else is going down. So no matter what the challenge, no matter what you face, the Bible is pretty clear that God wants you to be the head and not the tail. I'm going to read it now. As a matter of fact, God says, you will only be the top dog. Somebody say, woof, woof. And the brother who hasn't seen his wife for a while says, oh! So Helen Keller said, keep your face to the sunshine, then you will never see a shadow. So while things in the world are going down around us, and the Bible talks about it, the church can arise and shine. The church can be victorious. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, the Bible says, he raised us up together with Jesus, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I want to tell you this morning, you are not under this world. Sometimes you talk to people and say, how are you doing? And they say, well, pastor, under the circumstances. Well, my brother, you are not under the circumstances. You overcome the circumstances. And I'm going to show you how in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We know the scripture of God's promise to bless his people. Verse 1 in the message, the Bible says, if you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all the commandments which I command you today, God, your God, will place you high. High above all the nations of the world. Somebody say high. Well, we're not talking about a drug high. We're talking about a Jesus high. Because a drug high or an alcohol high or a relationship high always has a downside. But there ain't no high like the Holy Ghost high, because the Holy Ghost high don't stop. Oh, you can smile. You're not in a, you know, church is family. It should be fun. It's not a religious institution. Somebody the other day was complaining that our praise and worship is too loud, and I just said to him, well, we're not a graveyard. Thank you. If you want silence, go sit in the graveyard. If you want life, come to church. Amen. Say amen. So all these blessings will come down on you and spread out above you because you have responded to the voice of God, your God. God's blessing inside the city. God's blessing in the country as a farmer. God bless the farmers of South Africa. God bless our government with wisdom for land reform and land distribution. God bless our government with wisdom to raise up previously disadvantaged communities to be of the best farmers in South Africa. Say amen in Jesus' name. So God's blessing on your children, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herd, the lambs of your flock. God's blessing on your basket and bread bowl. God's blessing on you coming in. God's blessing on you going out. God will defeat your enemies who attack you. They'll come at you on one road and run away on seven roads. God will order a blessing on your barns and workplaces. Say this today. Say, my job is blessed. My job is blessed. Say, my bank account is blessed. You know, we were created in the image of God to be like God. God created. As a matter of fact, there's a translation says that when God created Adam, God created him a spirit-speaking man, to speak just like God. So your authority and your dominion is released by the very words that you speak. So you cannot be silent. If you want to have a dominion and you have no money, you have to say, I am blessed, because God promises you to be blessed, because the real you are not the poor you, the real you are the Christ you. And in Christ, I have taught you, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen. And we've been taught to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus came to bring heaven. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I have not come that you may be a white knuckle Christian. I've not come that you may be sad, sorry, sulking. I've come that you may be a happy, enthusiastic, victorious, overcoming Christian. I've come that you may be the head and not the tail. You settle for nothing less, my brother. So God will order a blessing on your barns, on your workplaces. He will bless you in the land that God, your God, is giving you. God will form you as a people holy to him, just as he promised, if you keep the commandments of God. God first, your God, and live the way he has shown you, according to the word. All the people of the earth will see you living under the name of God and hold you in respectful awe. God will lavish you with good things. Hallelujah. Good things are heading your way. Well, I believe the Bible, not the cynical Christian. I believe what God says. God will lavish you with good things. Can you handle that? Some of you, okay? Well, I'm not going to give you bad news. I'm not going to give you sad news. And I don't have any tearful news. I only have good news. The gospel is good news. So God says, if you walk with me, if you obey me, I will lavish you with good things. Good things. James 1 verse 17, every good, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. God will lavish you with good things, children from your womb, offspring from your animals, crops from your land, the land that God promised your ancestors that he would give you. God will throw open the doors of his sky vaults and pour rain on your land on schedule and bless the work you take in hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't have to take out a loan. God will make you the head and not the tail. You'll always be the top dog and never the bottom dog. So God never designed you for the world to trample on you. God designed you to be the head. You were created in the image of God. You're not a doormat. You have sonship. We spoke about your true identity. You hail from the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You come from the bloodline of champions. You have the seed of greatness on the inside of you. You have God living in you. You're not a loser. You're not a failure. I don't care how many times you have failed, that's not you. God says you will be the top dog. So you better get ready to be the top dog. Young people, you better study. Get your master's, get your doctorate. Prepare yourself to be employed in the highest places. Prepare for promotion. Prepare that you will go up and not down, because God will bless you. His favor surrounds you with as a shield. Amen. You are the top dog. Come on, look at the person next to you and tell that person, you will be the top dog. Now, I hope the men said that to their wives, okay? Hey, David, did you say that to your wife? Hey, David and Chanel, a new married couple. They got married 2 weeks ago. Stand up quickly, my son and my daughter. Look at them. Turn around. Look at the people. Put the camera on them. David's blessed. Because he's got my genes, amen. What did you think I mean? So you will be the top dog only and not the bottom dog if you obey God, the Bible says. So clearly, God wants you to overcome. Clearly, no matter what life throws at you, God wants you to come through victorious. In the fire, but not smelling of the fire. And yes, life can be tough. Life can be difficult. There are things in the world that happen. But we should never lose ourselves and allow circumstances to determine how we walk and how we talk. We walk and we talk by faith. Faith is not a fad. Faith is not a fashion. Faith is not some formula. Faith is how we live. It is how we please God. In Romans chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So when things go down, we expect that God will lift us up. Because 1 John 5 verse 4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is how we please God. A lot of people are sitting and they say, oh God, please, don't you feel sorry for me? Yes, he does. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. But Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we can't get all cynical when we see things on television. We should not be hopeless people when we hear about a country in junk status. We should believe the best is yet to come. We should pray that God gives our government wisdom. We should pray for economic investments in this country. We should pray for the alleviation of poverty. We should pray for peace and prosperity for all the people of South Africa. Come on, we have power in prayer. So we have an expectation of a better South Africa. Oh, come on, somebody give the Lord a praise if you believe it. Hallelujah. Don't criticize your government. Pray for your government. Oh, vote for any party you want to vote for. Engage in any political platform you want to engage in. But pray for your government, that you may live peaceably and in all godliness. That word peace is shalom. That shalom includes financial prosperity. Don't be one of the doomsayers. Don't become one of the young people that prophesy death over South Africa. There's no hope in South Africa. We have no future. South Africa is worse off than ever. Don't be one of those people. Speak the word of God. Say, this is a good land. This is a land of milk and honey. Good things are happening. Investments are coming. People are living together in peace and harmony. Come on. This is a blood wash. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus, Pretoria. Faith is how we overcome. Faith is how we receive our answers from God. Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. So I'm not really going to say what an economist says that's been proven wrong 10 times. I mean, people were predicting the rand was going to go to 18 rand to the dollar, and then it dipped to below 12. And then junk status, and everybody said, oh, it's all over, it's all over, it's all over. And yeah, the rand is going down again. Because it's, no economist is, and I understand the complications and the impact of many things. I'm not standing here as a preacher, don't get it. As a matter of fact, I study things all the time, trends in the world. And when I engage with politicians, I will always talk about the success stories. Like Singapore, who was a third world country and one of the poorest countries in the world, and through wise repositioning of itself are now the wealthiest country per capita. Why not South Africa? Why not the people of South Africa? We have the best people in the whole wide world. Come on. Why not Africa become this glowing diamond in the name of Jesus, this jewel that will feed the rest of the world? Hallelujah. But we have to ask for it. We have to believe it. Amen. Not join the peanut gallery. Not go on internet and start looking for a job in New Zealand. Then you better go quickly. I meet people all over the world that left South Africa that are perishing, but they can't come back. This is my land. This is the most beautiful country in the world. We have our challenges, but we're not going to allow challenges to overcome us. I mean, we had challenges the abolishment of apartheid. We had severe challenges. We may not be where we want to be, but we're not where we used to be. Thank God. Let's stop talking about the negatives and begin to celebrate the positives in South Africa. Let's celebrate our diversity. Let's celebrate this land. Come on. Let's take hands together and build this nation together. A fair South Africa, a South Africa for all, where women and children are protected. Come on, where your grandchildren will have a future. Where a little girl can go walk on the beach 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night. Where a woman can go for a jog through a forest without fearing for her life. Come on, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I need you to give the Lord a praise now and break the yoke of the devil over this land of ours in the name of Jesus. Come on! Hallelujah! So let's talk about how to be an up person in a down world. Number one, you have to look up and you have to get up. You have to look up and you have to be an up person. Look up, be up. Are you not giving me a big be up amen there? Look up and get up. Look unto Jesus, the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want you to know today, Jesus is still alive. I want you to know today, he still is the Savior of the world. I want you to know there still is nothing impossible with him. I want you to know he still has the ability to open doors no one can shut and shut doors no one can open. He still has the ability to protect you. He still has the ability to provide for you. He still has the ability to guide you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never take your eyes off Jesus. No matter what you are facing, no matter what you are going through, you have to lift your eyes from wherever you are. Lift your eyes above the problems of our land and see Jesus high and lifted up. Psalm 121 verse 1, the Bible says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Who made the heavens and the earth. And I want you to know this God is not asleep. He's not on a journey. He's a present help in times of need. So you will expand your business more rapidly because that's what God promised you. In a declining economy, you will explode. You will rapidly explode. You have to expect explosion, not... And I bump into people, that's why I preach this everywhere. They'd say, not in our church maybe, but everywhere. I'm a talker. I like to talk to people in the gym. How's it going? They say, oh, times are tough. Times are tough. People are tight. Money is tight. That's okay. You believe that? Then money's tight.
There's always been tough times. We had a recession several years ago, and God helped us to build the ministry or the church in Pretoria. There's always going to be tough times, but don't let your mind think wrong thoughts. No matter where you are, lift your eyes, look up. Because whatever you look unto will pull you up or push you down. He's the gift with a lift. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. When you look unto Jesus, you are filled with hope. Come on, he's not a religion. He's a person. He's real. Look up and you will lift up. Look unto Jesus. John chapter 3 verse 14, the Bible says, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you feel the bite of the serpent, no matter what it is, you have to look up. The bite of discouragement, the bite of disappointment, the bite of rejection, the bite of sickness and disease, the bite of financial loss. We all go through things that want to bite us. But when that bite comes, don't look at the bite. Don't look at the cause of the bite. But look unto Jesus. Just like Moses had to make a brazen serpent, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 21, when fiery serpents came into the camp of the Israelites, God gave Moses a clear instruction, and he said, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Sometimes life can bite us. Sometimes we can go through painful relational experiences. Sometimes you come back from the doctor and the diagnosis is not so good, but the end will be a good end. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes in business, things don't go the way you expect them to go, and you feel the bite of anxiety, the bite of pressure. Draw back, lift up the pole, lift up the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says when you are bitten, you can look up, you can look unto Jesus, and he will save you. Come on, he still is a savior. He still is a present help in times of need. You can still call upon his name, and the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on, young person, you've come through a tragic background. You are not defined by your tragic background. You are defined by who Jesus says you are, that you have a future and you have a hope. So you can look up and you can get up in the name of Jesus Christ. When you fall down or when life throws you down, look up and get up again. Like David at Ziklag, when he came with his mighty men and found it burned with fire and his wives were taken captive. Old Testament, New Testament, one wife. Amen. So David's two wives are taken captive. Their houses are burned. They've lost everything. The Bible says these mighty men were so distressed that they fell to the ground. These are mighty men of war. And they, on the ground, in a place of discouragement like Elijah, and until they have no strength left. Men of battle, like a military defense force, so disheartened that they're lying on the ground, so weak that they have no strength left. And with the last bit of strength they have, they turn against the leader and they say, we're going to kill you, David. We're going to kill you, David. We're going to stone you, David. You're the cause of this. If you never took us away from our wives, we would not have lost our wives. You are the reason. And they talk about killing the leader. So discouraged. When discouragement comes, don't turn against someone. Don't look at somebody as the cause of your situation. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It is the devil trying to destroy South Africa. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We need to deal with the spiritual forces behind this country and pray like never so God can appoint the leaders that he has chosen for our country. Come on, that we may have a blessed South Africa. Don't be one of those naysayers and those people that judge. No. These people all turned against the leader, and the leader did the right thing. He got himself off the ground, and he ran to God, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. You have to look up, and you have to get up, and you have to get over, and you have to get on with the destiny that God has for you. Staying down will change nothing in your life. You have to go where you don't want to go. Go get that degree. Go see that person. Go see that client. Keep on keeping on. When everything in you says, quit, then you don't quit in the name of Jesus. You look up and then you get up. David again. Sometimes people do what they should not do. And then the church sits there with stones to crucify them. People sin. They should not, but they do. People make mistakes. People fail morally. Go through things that they should not go through. And everybody sits there and say, they should have known better. Yes, they should have. But we are not there to shoot our wounded when people fall or sin or fail. We are there to cover them. We are there to restore them. We are there to lift them up. Just like Jesus did when the woman was caught in adultery. He that is without sin, let him throw the first stone. David, this great king, what did he do? He commits a murder. He commits adultery. You can't go kill people. I understand that. That's a whole nother thing I want to debate. You can't do that. You can't go around committing adultery and doing things that are against God's word. But David did. And David's son that he had was busy dying. And David, we know, threw himself on the ground. He lay before God and he said, God, who knows whether you will spare my child or whether my child will die. And then he saw his leaders talk and he realized his child had just died. David, God's beloved. David, a man after the heart of God. David, the king. David, the one who wrote most of the Psalms. David, chosen by God in the place of Saul. David, where God's hand was upon. He fails morally. I mean, it didn't just happen. He planned it. Because when Bathsheba took the bath, all men had to be indoors because all the women were bathing on the rooftops. So yeah, David goes and he looks and he calls for her and he falls in love with her and he orders that her son or her husband be placed in the front lines of battle and then people withdraw at the most intense time of the battle so that he would be killed. And what happens is exactly what David requires. So he plots the death of the woman that he commits adultery with. And he's now at the lowest of the low. And watch what he does. When his child dies, the Bible says, and I want to read this. Because many people, when they make a mistake, they think I've committed the unpardonable sin. They think God can never forgive me. God can never restore me. You know, I think everybody's sitting in this place at one stage in your life. Maybe you did something you should not have done. And maybe you said something you should not have said that you wish you could change. Anybody, don't raise your hand. I'm sure if David could live his life over again, this would not be in the Bible, but it's in the Bible so you and I can learn not to make a mistake, but when you make a mistake, how to get back to God. That God is always there, not as your judge, but as your Savior. Because many people live with this guilt of shame. They have that shadow over their lives because of that one thing that they did. They just cannot get ahead with a life that God called them to live because there's this nagging voice that tells them you shouldn't have done that. My dear friend, why God warns us, and in the evenings I've dealt with this, against sin is not that God will judge you, but sin has a consequence. And sin will destroy your life if you go dabble in sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So if any man sin, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, not a judge, an advocate. And what you have to do is you have to get up. The most difficult thing to do, a comeback, like the prodigal son. You have to get up and go back to God. No matter how many older brothers are judging you, no matter how many people are ready to write you off, you have to dust yourself off. You have to straighten your back. You have to lengthen your gait, come on your stride, and you have to walk back to the house of your father. Oh, maybe the other brothers will not like you coming home, but God is waiting for you to cover you again with a robe of righteousness, to put a ring on your finger, sandals on your feet, and to say, my son that was dead is alive again. The one who was lost is found again. I want to tell you, no matter what you've done, no matter how low you have sung, there is hope for you today because of the love and the mercy of God. And this is exactly what David did. Because people say, think I don't have a future. I bump into people everywhere. And sure, if you're in a leadership position, there's more consequences to sin. But it grieves me. So often when I see people that have sinned and how the church is ruthless with them. I was gymming the other day and a man of God that was a senior pastor, I suddenly saw him across me. Who sinned, who fell into adultery, and the church just kicked him out. And I thought, what about restoration? If you break your arm, you don't cut the arm off. You immobilize the arm, you heal the arm to get the arm back functioning in the body. We need to get rid of this judgmental, legalistic spirit. Come on, we believe that we should walk in purity and holiness, but if any man sin, we should be there to rescue. Come on, not to shoot. Oh, come on, CRC, this is what we're all about. We're about people. Hallelujah. So we help the person that is broken because of the adultery, but we also help the adulterer. many of you are not getting on in your lives, and maybe on watching on television, sitting wherever, because of something that you've done. And you're carrying your shame. Jesus came to remove your shame. There's no shame left. That burden of guilt that you are carrying, no good will come out of that. You have to give it to the Lord. You have to get up and allow Jesus to restore you. You have to allow Jesus to lift you up again. You have to be everything. Maybe you've gone through, I don't know why I'm getting back to divorce all the time, but you've been through divorce and your husband hurt you, your wife hurt you, and you think, I'm never going to get divorced or married again. Hey, God is a restorer. God wants to heal you, and God will lift you up, and God will bless you with a better spouse. God will bless you. Your latter part will be more blessed than your former part. Come on, just like Job, God is going to bless you. Don't you give up. You worship up in your darkest moment. You worship up. You may be on the ground, but you better look up, and you better worship up, and you better get up in the name of Jesus, and you better draw closer to Jesus, because He's waiting to draw closer to you. Oh, come on, say amen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So 2 Samuel 12 verse 20, the Bible says, so David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. A comeback is never easy. When people mess up in our world, we should be the guide, the tour guide, amen, to guide them back to Jesus, back to Jesus, because He will restore them. He will love you. He will turn their mess into a message, amen. He will turn their mistake into a miracle. He never writes any person off. Don't write yourself off, amen. So this morning, family, no matter where you are in life, you may be on top of the mountain today, and I'm happy for you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You may be the director of all directors. Don't get a swelled head. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God wants to take you further. The sky's the limit. You may be going through something that has bitten you in life. Keep your eyes on Jesus this morning. He will heal that bite. He will heal that disappointment. He will heal your broken heart. He will heal your relationships. He's a healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the healer today. He will remove that hurt from your heart if you draw closer to Jesus today. Don't justify your pain. Don't allow your pain to turn into anger. I was one of those people. My pain turned into anger, into violence, until I met Jesus. But the cause of my anger wasn't anger. It was the pain I had as a teenager. So people are shouting out in anger because of the pain. Orphans, broken families, abused as children. Draw to Jesus and let Him heal you. Be honest with Him. Lay your heart barren before Him and let Jesus touch you and heal you. He will remove that bite. He will give you beautiful ashes. He will give you the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That is the Savior that you serve. He will never write you off. He will lift you up. Come on, in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe life has thrown you a curveball. You've lost your job. You've been knocked to the ground. Don't stay on the ground. No matter how weak you feel today, lift your eyes up today. See Jesus exalted today. Believe that God is for you and God is not against you. Maybe you've made a mistake. Maybe you've sinned. Maybe you've done something crazy. You've lost your mind. Nobody knows. But you're beating yourself up all the time. Get up from the ground like the prodigal son. Get back to your Father's house. Draw closer to God. And God will draw closer to you. No matter who you are today sitting in this place, they're in Pretoria, in Johannesburg, East Rand, in all our churches. They're in one of the correctional facilities. You are not here by accident. I want to tell you that God is for you and God is not against you. I want to tell you that God loves you. God is madly in love with you. I want to tell you there is nothing you can do that will make God stop loving you. This is not a religion. It's a relationship. This whole journey with God is a relationship. All those blessings that God, we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 28, isn't a formula. It is relational, like any father who only has good intentions towards his child. That's your father who says, just walk with me and I will cause your enemies who come against you to be driven before you. I will bless you wherever you are. My hand will be upon you. I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. I will sustain you in the fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I will shut the lion's mouth. Don't you give up. You lift your eyes. You keep your eyes on me. I am your safe place. I am your guide. I am your present help. I don't know how anybody survives or makes a living outside of a relationship with God. In this world where there are so many negativities, so many voices, so many circumstances, it is so easy to lose yourself and become like everybody else in the world, hopeless. Or you can stay back and know that you have the unfair advantage, that you have an amazing God, an omnipotent God, a God who is omnipresent, who is always for you and never against you. How can you not want to walk with this God? He's not a theology. He's not a doctrine. He is God. He created you. You were created for Him, by Him. Maybe you're sitting in one of our churches today and you don't know God. You know about Him. You read your Bible. You go to church. But if you had to be honest, you don't know Him. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? You're not like an animal. It's not the end of it all. There's not a purgatory. There's not a waiting place. You're not coming back as something else to redeem yourself. Jesus redeemed you. Jesus paid the price for every one of your iniquities. All you have to do is accept what Jesus did for you. Is God talking to you this morning? Is it your moment to say, yes, Lord, come take your place? I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. You're in Bloemfontein, they're in Pretoria, Bloemfontein North, in any one of our churches. You are not here by accident. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. Maybe you're sitting here today. You served God at one time in your life passionately, but you've grown cold and you've wandered away from your Father's house. Today you want to come back. I want to pray for you. Is that your desire today, to have assurance of salvation? Then I want to pray for you. Amen. What a great honor to pray with each one of you. We love you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your courage to come to the altar today. I know your life will never be the same again, because what Jesus did for me, He will do for you today, as you give your heart to Him. So I want you to close your eyes so you're not distracted by anything. And you just listen to my voice. And I'm going to help you, according to the Bible, to put your life in the hands of God. I want you to pray this little prayer. Just say these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to You. I open my heart and I invite You to take Your place. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me in Your blood. I believe with all my heart, You died for my sin. I believe You rose from the grave. You are Lord forever. Today, I make the decision to give myself back to You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for accepting me. Thank You for healing me. Thank You for a brand new start. I'm Your child forever. I'm free. And I'm forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. That's as easy as that. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.